please open your Bibles. I hope you have them, to the book of Judges. Our scripture reading is Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 25. The book of Judges in the Old Testament. I'll be reading chapter 7, verses 1 to 25. Let us hear from the word of the Lord. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah and his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley. Thick as locusts, their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their right left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shitta towards Zahara, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Bara." I'll end right there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a passage in Scripture. In fact, one of the best passages in Scripture revealing not just the power of God, but God's desire for glory. And we see that very clearly in this book of Judges in the Old Testament. And we learn right from the beginning that God has chosen a man named Gideon to be the judge, to be the one who would lead the Israelites out of oppression. You see, the Midianites had been oppressing the Israelites for years, more than 10 years, decades in fact. And then after they cried out to God, God raised up a man named Gideon to be the one who would lead them to victory over the Midianites. So in our passage today, Gideon is about to face an enemy army in the battle. So this passage today is like the battle. This is when it's all going to go down. Gideon and his army are 33,000 fighting men. The Midian army, which he has to fight, is 135,000 men. So I don't know about you, but what we learn already that this doesn't seem to be a fair fight. Gideon and his army are considerably outnumbered. And Gideon is aware of this reality. He knows he is outnumbered. But then God goes one step further in this story to make sure everyone knows, not just Gideon, but us as well, who is going to win the battle. And it's not going to be Gideon, and it's not going to be the Midianites. When you look back to verses 2 to 3, just as Gideon, as leader, is taking charge and preparing for battle, the Lord says, "You have too many men. Gideon, there's something the matter with your army." So imagine this conversation. Gideon is preparing his men for battle, and God says, "Gideon, there's something wrong with your army." And Gideon probably thought, "There sure is. We're outnumbered. Not only are we outnumbered, we don't have enough swords. We don't have enough shield. We don't have armor." But is that what God says? No. God says, actually, you have too many soldiers. So God then instructs Gideon to allow all the soldiers who are afraid, all those soldiers who were trembling with fear, to go home. They had a free pass home. So how many left? I don't know how many Gideon thought would leave. Maybe 5 or 6, I'm not sure. 22,000 men left Gideon's army, while 10,000 remained. Now, the movies have it all wrong. Every time a deadly mission comes up, everyone steps forward as the music begins to lift, right? Now, for Gideon, 33,000 men, 22,000 men take a step back and leave for home. They're thankful. They're grateful that they don't have to risk their lives in battle against an army 3 times their size. Now, if I was Gideon, I'd be yelling at them, "I didn't mean it. It was a joke." I would say, "Just hang out in the back, and you guys can pick off anyone that gets through our line, even though we're outnumbered." But why did God allow this to happen? Why did God say, "Your army's too big," and when it was already outnumbered? What is God thinking? Well, in verse 2, we hear this word. This army was made to get smaller. Why? "In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her." What is God saying? What is God teaching us here? You know, God knows the hearts of man. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows how easy it is, even for the Israelites, to replace God with themselves, with boasting about what they did and how they won the battle. Ultimately, there is nothing a person can do without the help of God. A person cannot even breathe or move without God's favor. A person cannot even be born without the hand of God in it. But it is so easy to think that we did it, to replace God with self. That's the message of the world. It's all about you. It's a me-centered society we live in. It is easy to think that self did it when God is unseen. But you know, God is still there, always. Every believer, every follower of Christ must keep his focus on God and God's abilities, not the abilities of self. Everything that a believer can do is done only because God gave them that ability. And so we must not allow pride to come into our mindset, thinking it's all about me, making us think that God wasn't part of this. You know, the message of salvation, consider the good news, the gospel, it is much different than the message of the world. God's message is one of salvation through Christ, Jesus alone. While the message of the world is you save yourself. You keep your life about yourself. Rather than desiring attention for ourselves, everything we do should always be to bring glory to our Savior. I love how we began our worship time this morning with that great hymn, "To God Be the Glory." It was John the Baptist who said, "Jesus must increase, I must decrease." In order that Gideon and his army did not boast about how they won the battle, God decides to make this army even smaller when it was already outnumbered. In order for God to increase, you must decrease. Now, hopefully, God is now done with shrinking this army. I'm sure Gideon was wondering, is this it? But it wasn't done there. God wasn't done, not quite. God really, truly, in this passage, wants to get the point across that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no other God before or after, and that he is the I Am. So then the Lord says, Gideon, again, there is still something the matter with your army. What was it? It's still too big. And he makes the army of Gideon even smaller. So in verses 7 to 8, we see this test that God puts his army through. God puts the army to a test. He sifts them out even more. And what Gideon had to do was when he took his army to the watering hole, he was going to tell Gideon who's going to stay and who's going to go. And so when Gideon took his army to the water to drink, those who got down on their knees to drink were sent home, while those who drank from cupped hands were told to remain. And what was the outcome of this test? We learn that 9,700 of them got on their knees to drink water, dunking their head in there, drinking as much as they could. And only 300 cupped the water in their hands and brought it to their mouths to drink. Only 300 men. 300 few good men would be all that Gideon would have to defeat, what was it? 350,000, 135,000, excuse me, of the Midianites. This army has gotten smaller. And I'm sure Gideon is trembling and wondering, is this it? Now he's outnumbered 450-1. So that meant for the Israelites to win, one Israelite soldier had to, what? Destroy 450 of the enemy soldiers. That's a pretty big challenge. You know, on Wednesday night in Kennedy Park, there's usually about a couple of hundred people there for the soccer league. Perhaps you've driven by or you've seen. It's quite crowded at Kennedy Park on Wednesday nights here in town. There's probably about 300 people there. Now, Kingston, if you've ever been to Kingston, Kingston's a city of about 135,000 people. Now, just try and picture with me how ridiculous this is. A school bus that maybe a couple of school buses could fill up the people from Kennedy Park, and they just drive on down the 401 to Kingston to take out the whole city. Quite impossible. But that's kind of what we're looking at from a scale. That's an outnumbered, that's impossible. And I'm sure Gideon was baffled. Gideon must have been thinking, when is this going to end? God, what are you doing? And in this process, God was saying to Gideon, you have to trust me. You have to put all your faith in me and me alone and not worry because I'm in charge. I have called you to live by faith and not by sight. Now, you might not understand what I am doing and why I'm doing it, but my ways are higher than your ways, Gideon. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You have to trust me, and you have to follow me into the impossible, into the uncertainty and unknown times. And that's the message for us as well. Will you trust me? The Lord speaks to us. So now was the time Gideon needed increased dependency on God. And it is the same for you. And it's the same for me. Even coming through an incredible week of Vacation Bible School, that was a lesson many of us leaders had to learn, especially on the last day. Lord, We need you to get through this last day. And he got us through. But to follow Jesus, folks, means to keep him first in all things. Does your life show more of Christ and less of you? Less of your old sinful self? Do people see more and more Christ-like character and less of you? Can you say in the words of the Apostle Paul from Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why did God do such a thing for you? Why did God do such a thing for me? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to know him. Because he wants to take up more and more of your life every day. So that he can be glorified and worshiped above all. So God was decreasing the size of Gideon's army. So that he would get all the glory from the victory. Because he has already said more than once to Gideon, you have one already. I will give the Midianites into your hands. And so God wants Gideon to trust him. God wants you to trust him because he is the one who is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory, not you. Without him, we can do nothing. Now, when we look at life through our own eyes, we only see what we are living in at that moment. Gideon became afraid, and Gideon was trembling. He still struggled with fear, even with 300 men and God on his side. But he became afraid because he looked at 300 of his men and he knew he was up against 135,000 Midianites. In the eyes of men, in the eyes of the world, this would be seen as impossible. That's one word. Ridiculous, foolish, a quick way to die. We also can get so absorbed by our own life circumstances and our own conditions around us that we let it dictate our own life. When everything is going our way, we consider ourselves happy and content. And on the other hand, when things begin to fall apart, when things don't go our own way, we become discouraged. We might even become unhappy and depressed. Why is that? And so often that's the case because we allow our circumstances to rule the way we feel. We allow our circumstances to rule our faith even. We see our problems as bigger than they actually are. And maybe this morning, you are in a very difficult place and you are saying, the problem is just too big, God. It's too big. I don't see a way out. I don't see any answers to this situation. And that could be a habit you're struggling with. That could be a family crisis. See, you look at the circumstances and you are convinced, and perhaps you have been convinced by the enemy that there is no hope. You're convinced that the enemy is just too big. The problem is too tough. The situation too bleak. But God demonstrated something to Gideon that he wants us to learn this morning. God told Gideon to take the 300 men and go into battle against an entire army of Midianites and that he was going to give him victory. Will you trust me? Listen, was God intimidated by the 135,000 Midianite army? Absolutely not. He had a plan. See, when you say the enemy is too big, what does God say? I am bigger. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. Absolutely, God was bigger than the Midian army. It's true. And God is bigger than the sickness you're facing. God is bigger than the financial pressures you're going through. God is also bigger than the struggles that you are having in your family or in your marriage or with your kids. Listen, your enemy is no doubt big, but God is bigger and he is greater and his power is great. What would you do if you were in Gideon's place at this point with 300 men, days away, moments away from battle? Would you respond with fear or faith? Would you rely on your own wisdom? Or would you put your full trust in the Lord? Thankfully, Gideon, as the passage goes on, puts his trust in the Lord. God wanted there to be no doubt about the supernatural source of deliverance and victory over the enemy. God is teaching Gideon and the people of Israel this lesson. When you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. So Gideon and his 300 men, they gathered some provisions. But did you notice in the text what they gathered? They didn't gather swords and shields, spears, and all those important weapons when you go to battle, when you enter hand-to-hand combat. That's not what they gathered. Instead, they collected trumpets, yes, jars, candles. What kind of battle was this going to be? So Gideon has come a long way. He has come a long way overcoming fear and anxiety. And he's not there yet. Okay, the passage isn't done yet. Charging into the Midianite camp, just thinking about it, reveals to us there were some still lingering anxieties in Gideon. So once again, by God's grace, he intervenes and says, if you still are a little bit afraid, I'm going to have you do something. Take your servant Pura, enter into the enemy camp at night when nobody can see you. I have something for you to hear. And so that's what happens. Once again, God intervenes. Gideon takes his servant Pura, and they sneak to the outpost of the Midianite camp and listen to what the enemy was saying. Back in your text, Judges 7, verses 8 to 15. So there, he goes down below in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down to the camp. I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, here's your opportunity to be reassured. Go down to the camp with your servant and listen. Listen to what they are saying. Remember, this is the enemy. Listen to what the enemy is saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Pura and his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. So Gideon is seeing all of this, remember? He's like, wow, we are so outnumbered. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. You know, if there was ever a time for Gideon to have cold feet, it was in that moment before entering into that enemy camp. And as he slowly approached, he saw the hundreds of campfires confronted by the vast size of the enemy army. But just as Gideon arrived, and as I just read, in God's providential timing, he overheard one Midianite soldier relating a dream to a friend. And in his dream, he saw a round loaf of barley bread roll right through the Midianite camp and overturn the entire tent. And his friend there immediately interpreted the dream's significance. The bread you see symbolized Gideon's sword. His military strength and the toppling of the tent represented Midian's collapse. And through the overhearing of this dream, God gave Gideon the exact reassurance that he needed in that moment. And then Gideon finally feared the Lord more than the enemy. Gideon finally lets go of any fears and anxieties. And as he reached the high point of his faith, what does the text tell us he do? Right there in that spot, I believe he just fell right down on his knees, didn't care who was around him. He worshiped the Lord. He worshiped God. And in this worship of God, we learn Gideon was now completely ready to put his faith into action. And God often does the same for us today. He gives us a divine word of assurance when we need it most. Have you ever gone through a particular confusing or challenging time in your life, and then somehow you received the exact word that you needed to hear? A word of God. Whether it was something you were reading in your Bible at that time, or you got a card in the mail, heard something on the radio, or had an encouraging conversation with a friend. How many of you ever left church saying, how did the preacher know I needed to hear that? That sermon was just for me. And in this story, we learn that sometimes God even speaks to us through our enemies. And this was the case for Gideon. Ponder that. And so how was this battle won? Well, when Gideon returned to his camp, he marshaled the troops, commanded them, saying, "Get up. The Lord has given the Midianites into your hands." And so Gideon goes on to fearlessly execute the battle plan that the Lord had given him. God instructed him. He followed it to the T. He divided the troops into three companies, and he armed them. Yes, he armed them with trumpets and torches, which were placed in jars. Jars to conceal the flames and protect them from the wind. And on his cue, he instructed his men to follow his lead and do exactly what he did. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ as well. Do exactly as Jesus is telling you to do. When Gideon got to the edge of the enemy camp in the middle of the night, all 300 troops blew their trumpets in unison on cue, smashed the jars, revealing their flaming torches inside, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord first, and then for Gideon." It was like a shock and awe tactic, really, but it gave the appearance, I'm sure, of a fully armed military force, and it caused utter terror in the Midianite camp. All 135,000 of the army, the enemy army. And fear then became a factor for these soldiers. They frantically reached for their swords. They fled their tents. And amid the panic of darkness, the trumpets, this noise coming from all around them, the lights blazing from all around them, the enemy shouting, the Midianite soldiers were confused. And in a panic, they began swinging their swords at anyone who came near them. And ironically, there wasn't a single Israelite soldier inside their camp. And the Midianites wound up slaughtering their own men. Now, with the remnants of the Midian army scattered and weakened, Gideon calls out to the northern tribes of Israel, and they are to pursue and mop up the operation to finish this mission. And with that, the war was over, and Israel was liberated by the oppression of the Midianites. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And so God proved his great power by delivering the nation of Israel through Gideon and his band of 300 trumpeters. So the battles we face in life as well, listen folks, are won by trusting God and being completely obedient to his word. And I pray that you will know the power of God in your life, that you will not try to do things without God, that you will allow God to work through you, using you, and that you will always remember, no matter the size of the battle, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the lessons, the important spiritual truth that, Lord, you reveal to us by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, God, for teaching us, reminding us, Lord, that to follow you means we have to choose. We have to place our trust in you every day. Thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Forgive us, Lord, when we have allowed self to replace you, when we've made it about ourselves, when we've not kept you first in our marriages, in our habits, in our workplace, in our ministries, Lord. And Lord, today we choose to follow you. And as a church family, we choose to put you first above all. We thank you again for your love, for this time of worship where we can be reminded of your love for us, that you have a plan for us, that you are for us, and that you are not against us. We thank you that there is no work too hard for you, that God, you are incredible at working in our lives when we are in an impossible situation. So Lord, we give over to you, we surrender and yield to you right now. And we pray that as we go from this place this morning, that we will go knowing, believing in you, stronger than ever, God, that you are a God who protects and provides. And Lord, you're a God that paves the way. Help us, Lord, to keep following you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. For in Jesus' name we pray.